y'all doing? How y'all doing? All right. It was a little quiet. Sorry. I hate quiet spaces.
Searched all over. Yeah.
search high and low, still couldn't find nobody, cause nobody's greater, nobody's greater, nobody's greater, nobody's greater, cause nobody's greater, nobody's greater. Says that he is the great I am. Amen. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. Amen. He is holy God, God Jehovah, Elohim. Amen. He's sovereign in all his ways. And we just thank God. Let's give our young adults a hand clap of praise. Amen. We thank God for who he is. And we thank God for all of you being here tonight. Amen. And we thank God for our young people. Let's give our young people a hand clap of praise. Just want to continue to encourage them. Amen. In the love of Christ. And that's what this week is all about. Amen. Our young people being validated, affirmed, amen, and secure in their identity of Jesus Christ. And I thank God for our theme. Amen. Transform our young people being transformed, amen. And young people standing out, amen, in this culture, the culture of today, amen. We're breaking the mold. How many are breaking the mold? Amen. We got some mold breakers up in here. Amen. Amen. That don't sound good at all. How many are willing to break the mold of the culture? Amen. We've been blessed. We were blessed on last night, and guess what? I know we're going to be blessed even on tonight. Amen. So we're not going to belabor the moment. Amen. We're going to call our MC for tonight up. And listen, I want you all just to greet her with a strong hand clap of praise. We want to encourage her. Let's call Princess Corey right up. Amen. Who's our MC for tonight? Come on, Corey. Turn the service over to her.
So first we're going to have a scripture by Prince Tyree Smith, and followed by that it will be a prayer by Princess Jayla Russell.
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed into this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Bow your heads and close your eyes. Like, thank you for this day. Like, thank you for everyone who's sick, hurt. Make sure they can feel better. Like, thank you for the people who couldn't make it. Make sure they can watch it online. Like, thank you for the people who are just stuck at home, can't go anywhere. Make sure they can still have a good time, be with their family. Make sure we're all praying for everybody forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Amen.
There'll be a welcome by Princess Deandra Modis.
Welcome to the second day of Youth Revival. We're glad you can come tonight to celebrate fellowship with us. Sit back and enjoy yourself.
Now, a selection by the young adults.
your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Lord, I lift your name on high, and I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us.
Lord, I lift your name on high,
and I love.
selection of the speaker by Reverend Williams, then followed by a selection by the Case Choir.
Amen. It is my true pleasure, amen, to introduce my brother, whom I love dearly. Man, we've been in ministry since he was about 11 years old together. Amen. And I thank God for who he is and just the man, the father, the son, amen, and now the minister that he is. Amen. And I thank God the most because his life matches what he preaches. And he was such a blessing to our young people last year. Amen. And I was so happy, amen, that we could just all fellowship with one another. And even that much happier that we could bring him back this year. Amen. Amen. I know he's going to bless us with the word because he preaches with an urgency and a sincerity. Amen. Of the word of God. So I'm not going to belabor the moment. I'm going to introduce him, or I'm going to present him, because we already know who he is. Amen. We know where he comes. I just want to acknowledge Pastor Evans. Amen. His father, who is in the building. Amen. With my father in the ministry. Amen. And the blessing that he is in his whole family. Amen. Ella. Amen. His wife. His sons. Amen. Tenor and Cannon. Amen. First Lady, Sister Evans, I'm just going to call them all out. Amen. And Minister Sean Evans, my other brother, we just thank God for them being with us and other members from Norton Avenue being with us here on tonight. Amen. So I introduce to some, present to others, Minister Jamal Evans. Amen. He will be the next voice that you hear after our children come and bless us with a selection. Amen. Amen. Let's give a hand clap of praise for our young people. Thank you. praise. Come on, everybody say, oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. One more time, everybody say, oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Everybody, one more time, say, oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. I know it's hot, but y'all can sing with us. Come on. Oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be. Is he worthy to be praised or not? One more time. Come on, say it. Oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. One more time, everybody say, oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. So say now. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Amen. Those babies were singing. Amen. And that, what the kids said, they say that was a bop. That was a vibe right there. I was digging that for sure. For sure. I'm showing my age, right? First giving honor to God, who is the head of my life. I thank him for one, calling me. I thank him for giving me an opportunity to preach the pure and unadulterated word of Jesus Christ. And I thank him for keeping me yet one more day to be able to proclaim his word and to talk about just how loving a God it is that we serve. Amen. Amen. I'd like to thank Reverend Pastor Wright for giving me another opportunity to stand here and preach to the babies, preach to the youth, and preach to his congregation. Man, pastors don't let everybody come and preach in front of their congregation. So just the fact that he's given me another opportunity to stand before you on today, I'm grateful and gracious for God laying my name on his heart to allow me to be here. Reverend Marlon Williams, I can call him Reverend now because he's a Reverend now. That's my big brother in the ministry. I love him dearly. He's had me under his wing in the musical department since I was roughly 9 or 10 years old, man. So the relationship definitely runs deep. And all the musicians, all of the deacons, everybody in their respectful places, I thank you for being here. I'd like to thank my mother, my father, my pastor, Reverend James G. Evans III, who has raised me in the word of God. I'd like to thank my brother, Minister Sean, for being here, and my wife, Ella, and my two sons, Tenor and Cannon. If you didn't know, Tenor and Cannon are both musical names. And if you didn't know, we felt like we were at home when they called the babies up to sing. Tenor and Cannon got up there to sing with the babies. Amen. They said, oh, it's kids choir. Okay, that means we on, right? That just shows that community is family. We see you as family and we love you dearly. I will not hold court any longer. We will get to this word. We're coming out of Psalms chapter 30, verse 5, one verse. Say amen when you have it. It's in the middle of your Bible. Psalms, the 30th chapter, the 5th verse. And y'all can talk to me tonight. Y'all can talk. Don't get quiet on me now. Amen. All right. And the word reads, for his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Somebody say joy.
Joy.
Yeah. If I had a title for this message on tonight, it would simply be Morning is Coming. Morning is coming. Let us bow for a word of prayer.
Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Lord God, just saying thank you for another opportunity to just breathe your air, to be in your midst, Lord God, to be able to experience your love, to be able to experience your grace, Lord God, one more day. Thank you for all that are here gathered today to hear a word from you, to be better in you, Lord God. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we're asking for you to be in the midst, Lord God. We have invited you into this service, Lord God, and now we're inviting you to speak on through us, Lord God, to use the empty vessel that stands before all of these people, Lord God, and fill me up with you, Lord God. So anything that is said, anything that is spoken, anything that is uttered is pleasing unto your sight, Lord God. Be the mouthpiece, be the tongue, Lord God, so that they are hearing nothing but you, Lord God. All of these things we humbly ask and pray in your precious Son, Jesus' name. We collectively say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Morning is coming. This message is for the youth, but we pray that the seasoned saints can get something out of this tonight as well. Amen. 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 We have all experienced our parent or guardian being angry with us before, right? We have all experienced our parent or guardian's favor. We have all experienced a trial or tribulation that has caused us to weep. And it is my prayer that if you haven't experienced the joy of the Lord, that you can begin the process of receiving the joy that passes all understanding on tonight. Amen. Amen. So Mary had a song called In the Morning. The lyrics were pretty simple. The lyrics went, in the morning, you'll be all right. In the morning, the sun's going to shine. In the morning, no clouds in the sky. When it's dark in your life, wait for the daylight. Mary was singing this song, and it had a nice tempo. It had a nice upbeat. It sounded happy, but they were singing about being in a dark place. The track sounded like you could dance to it, but the message was encouraging you on how to get through when night falls in your life. Amen. So the message is important, and they creatively packaged this message to make it more palatable. They made it sound good. They packaged a dark, saddening scenario in a happy box so that it would be easier to swallow. Some of you may be too young, but there was a phrase back in the day where they said a little bit of sugar helps the medicine go down. And well, the up-tempo beat and the ability to dance to the song was the sugar. The message is the medicine and the reality that everybody at some point in time in their life is going to have some dark times. The reason why this message is important is because some people think when they give their life over to God, when they give their life to Jesus, that the problems will magically fade away. I'm letting you know right now, children, that your problems will never just magically fade away. And for the adults in out here outside in this beautiful night, the bills will not stop coming. The fridge will, you think the fridge is always going to be stocked with food. Your credit is going to magically fix itself. The children, you're going to get into whatever school of your dreams and get the job of your dreams. But because I'm a Christian now, so everything is supposed to change. Everything is supposed to happen the way I think it should happen. I said the prayers, and I paid the tithes, and I listened to my parents, and I stopped looking for trouble. And you get to a point where you're not getting everything you think you deserve or what you want, and you can start to think to yourself, where are you, Jesus? You're supposed to fix all of this. The song In the Morning reminds believers that dark times will still come. Community Baptist, you are no stranger to tough times. You have lost loved ones. You have experienced pain. You have had some dark days and some weary nights. You might be in a nighttime right now in your own personal life, but the scripture says
joy
comes in the morning.
Yeah, that's right.
In our text, verse 5, the word reads, "For his anger is but for a moment." Let's put a pin right there. One thing that this scripture makes abundantly clear is that God does indeed get angry. But the anger is only for a moment. Somebody say for a moment. I'm glad I can hear y'all out there. I'm so glad God ain't like us. God will get angry because we aren't doing what we should be doing, but it's only for a moment. You know how we do as people. You know how we do. You know how some Christians do. I can be mad at you and not talk to you for a week. Uh-oh. I could be mad at you and not talk to you for a month. I could be mad at you and not talk to you for a year. I cannot talk to you ever again. People get mad at you and they want to hate on you. People get mad at you today and they put you on do not disturb on their phone. People get mad at you today and they stop following you on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. People get mad at you today and they want to talk about you. They want to ruin and run your name through the mud. And aren't you glad Jesus don't hold grudges? Aren't you glad Jesus forgives? Aren't you glad that Jesus will always accept you with open arms? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your grace, God. Thank you for your love, God. Thank you for not holding a grudge on me. If the Lord has forgiven you, you ought to say thank you, Lord. You don't have to turn to your neighbor. Just say it out loud for me. Don't be scared of the moment. Don't be scared of the moment. His anger is only for a moment. The chastisement is only for a moment. The sting from the whooping Jesus got to give us is only for a moment. Don't be scared of the moment. Let me tell you something. Y'all think y'all know Pastor Evans, right? Pastor Evans got his master's in butt whoopings. I think he should have his doctorate hanging up in his office with a little belt logo on it. Because dad mastered the art of flicking the wrist with the belt in hand. Amen. But the correction that I needed, the correction that Minister Sean needed, the pain was only for a moment, but the correction lasted a lifetime. Amen. And as kids, we think parents enjoy the whipping. We sometimes we think, man, they just want to whoop me, man. I ain't do nothing wrong. They just want to beat me. But the thing is, now that I'm older and I have two boys of my own, I'm realizing the parents were not lying when they said this hurts me more than it hurts you. The parent having to correct the child ain't fun, but it is needed. And sometimes Jesus has to do some correcting with us. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12 read, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. If you're being corrected, that means that they love you, amen. And when God is correcting us, that's showing us that he loves us, amen. But we have to remember, in that correcting period, in that correcting time, children, when you're on punishment, when you did something that you might not have should have done, and you have to realize the anger or the frustration from your parent is only for the moment, amen. But we have to learn to stop running from Jesus and start running to Jesus. How many of us are running from God's correction? He doesn't want us to run from him. He wants us to run to him. We sing that song, I'm running from my life. I'm running from my life. But which direction are you running in? Towards Jesus or from him? The reason why we can say we never would have made it without Jesus Christ, the reason why you're stronger, the reason why you're wiser, the reason why you're better is because Jesus loved you enough to give you the grace and mercy and favor, even when you didn't deserve it. Thank you, Lord, for loving me enough to right my wrongs. That's where we have to get to a place to. David can write this scripture because he has lived it. David can say this because he too has had to be chastised. He too needed some correction. He remembers God healing him. He remembers God saving his life. He remembers God not allowing his enemies to defeat him. But he also remembers sleeping with a married woman. He also remembers sending her husband to die. He also remembers being full of himself, thinking that he could not be defeated. And God had to do some correcting on David. God did some chastising on David. And David is letting us know that his anger is only for a moment. But that same verse goes on to say, his favor lasts a lifetime. Somebody say favor. Somebody say lifetime. See, the favor from mommy and daddy lasts a lifetime. I'm a grown man, but my daddy is still my daddy. I still have access to what my daddy has. I still have favor. The prodigal son left and did whatever he wanted to do, whatever he thought he was big and bad enough to do. When he came back to his father, he still had favor. God corrects us because he loves us. And even though he's correcting you, he may be correcting you right now. Realize that since you're a child of the king, that you have favor. The favor of being connected to the Father lasts a lifetime. Stop running away from the chastisement of the moment because you're also running away from a favor of a lifetime. How many of you need favor from Jesus Christ? I know I do. I need that unmerited favor because I can't do enough to deserve it. You can't do enough to deserve it. The one thing in life you need that you can't earn and that you don't deserve is Jesus Christ's unmerited favor. And that, my friends, is a lifetime warranty. Amen. How many of you know you need Jesus? Because when I don't do right, I need Jesus to love me. When I don't do right, I need Jesus to forgive me. When I don't do right, I need Jesus to love me. I need Jesus to heal me and breathe new life in me. When I don't do right, I need Jesus to do these things. And that's what this is all about. Understanding that Jesus is always going to correct you, but he's going to give you everything that he has. Hallelujah. Moving on, then David goes on to say, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. This is the part that everybody likes. Everybody likes the joy part. Everybody wants to get to the joy part. Everybody wants to skip the weeping and get right to the joy. But let's talk about the weeping part. Let's get this out the way real quick. A good cry can be therapeutic. God gave us the ability to cry for a reason. And sometimes your body and your mind might need to cry to release some things. Children, sometimes you're gonna spend some nights crying in your room because you don't understand why mommy and daddy won't let you do what you want to do. But sometimes that cry can be therapeutic. Stop fighting back those tears. Stop being too tough to cry, because on the other side of those tears can be an unspeakable joy. Young people, sometimes you're going to go through trials and tribulations, and no, it's not easy being young and holy, and sometimes you're going to be upset with your parents, and you're not going to understand, and you might do something that's not pleasing to God, and you may need to be corrected. You might cry all by yourself in your room, but on the other side of those tears, again, is going to be joy. So let's talk about those tears. Let's talk about some of those tears that we might cry, because believe it or not, your mother and your father might be in their room crying some tears that you don't know about, because they're going through trials and tribulations that you can't understand. They're going through things that you'll never really understand, but they're crying because they're in their midnight hour and they're waiting for morning to come. Some tears in your eyes, these are called basal tears, and sometimes along the Christian journey, a little bit of dirt can get into your eye. A little bit of dust can get into your eyes. That dirt and that dust can be blocking your ability to see the pitfalls of life that are coming. Crying can allow you to see the road a little bit better. Crying is God's natural way of giving you some spiritual clear eyes. After weeping, you might see trials approaching. After weeping, you might see things that you didn't see coming before. After weeping, you might be able to see tribulations you couldn't see before. Weeping is necessary. Some tears occur due to irritation, allergies. These are called reflex tears. Some people in your life can have the same effects as an onion that you're cutting. You just know those tears are just a reflex to help you see those people who are bad influences in your life, children. The people you always seem to get in trouble with, and it leads to punishment and correcting. Realize those tears are just another lesson learned. Sometimes people will hurt you, and the reason for your nightfall, some of those tears are needed. And lastly, there's emotional tears. These tears release toxins. These tears release some things. These tears have proven to have some type of pain relief. And sometimes weeping during your night is needed to help you in your Christian journey. It helps you release the trauma that you might be going to, those emotional things that you may be going through that you think nobody else understands, but Jesus understands. And your night might be longer than mine. Your night might last a week. Your night might last a year. Your night might last longer than others' nights, but just remember that once you get through that nighttime and that joy comes in the morning, everything is going to be all right. Because believers, when sadness kicks in, we begin to pray. When worry creeps in, we begin to praise. When the enemy creeps in, we begin to worship. Whenever you are under attack, you give God praise. When you have fear, you remove thoughts that you have on yourself and you place them on God. Yeah. In the beginning of the chapter, in the first verse, David says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and has not made my foes to rejoice over me. Extol means to praise enthusiastically. Praise him when you're overwhelmed. Praise him in the midst of your brokenness. Praise him when you're on you feel like you're on your last leg. Praise him when you feel like you've lost your way. Praise him when you feel afraid. That's what this is all about, because Jesus can turn it around. Jesus can turn your mourning into dancing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, because joy comes in the morning, but mourning only comes to the believer. Mourning only comes to the believer. What am I talking about? What do I mean by this? See, some of you think that joy and happiness are interchangeable. I'm almost done. But they are not interchangeable. Happy is a feeling. Joy is knowing Jesus. You can be sad that someone you love passes away. I don't think you'll ever be happy that somebody you love passes away, but the person is gone. But see, once we wipe those tears and realize that God got the victory out of their life, and God also got the victory in their death, I can have joy in the fact that I understand what God did was what God needed to do. Simply put, biblical joy is choosing to respond to external circumstances with inner contentment and satisfaction. I'm going to say it one more time if you didn't catch it in the back. Biblical joy is choosing to respond to external circumstances with inner contentment and satisfaction. See, you and I may not be able to understand this, but you can't just be happy all the time. And situations are going to come in your life where you need to realize that you're not always going to be happy. Sometimes you're going to need some joy in your life to get through some of those weary nights. So listen, we know that God will use these experiences to accomplish his work. And accomplish his work through our lives. I have joy because I know God is in control. I have joy because I know that God has a plan for me. I have joy because I know God will get the victory. And so that's how we can turn it. That's how Jesus turns it. We say he turned it. We sing that song. He turned it. This is how he turns it. Jesus can turn your sadness or your mourning into dancing just by showing up. How does he show up? So we got to get to a point where we stop trying to do it on our own. We have to allow Jesus in. And when you allow Jesus in, that's when the change can take place. That's when you can allow Jesus to turn your mourning into dancing. See, the sun begins to rise in the morning time. That's when the sun begins to rise. If joy comes in the morning, how do you get the sun to rise in your life? Okay. The teenagers sang earlier tonight, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Where does Jesus want to be? He wants to live in your praise. He inhabits the praises of his people. When you praise Jesus, you invite him into your life. You invite him to stay. When you're in your dark times and you begin to praise the Lord, he will enter into your situation, and Jesus don't like a messy place. So Jesus then begins to clean up his living space in your heart. Here we go. When he moves in, he begins to change things. He begins to clean things. He begins to remove things. He begins to shake things around. And as soon as he enters in and he signs that lease to enter into your heart, everything changes. See, Jesus moves into your heart and he sees bitterness on the floor. He sees anger in the sink. He sees sadness in the laundry room. Jesus sees frustration piled up on the dining room table. He goes upstairs in your heart and he sees clothes everywhere. He sees clothes on the floor. He says, just keep on praising me, baby. Just keep on praising me, and I'm going to keep on cleaning up this mess. He sees jealousy all in the bathroom, and you can't stop weeping. You're crying all night long, but you keep on praising and you keep on singing and you keep on worshiping. And the next thing you know, all that praise begins to rise. Rise up the sun. Not the S-U-N, but the praise begins to rise up the S-O-N in your life. We just said that joy comes in the morning. We know it's morning when the sun rises. And when the S-O-N rises in your life, the joy rises in your life. Children, understand this. When you're going through trials and tribulations, you have to start praising in the midst of that circumstance. You have to start praising in the midst of that anger. You have to start praising in the midst of that bitterness, because Jesus is going to come in and turn it all around. Jesus is going to come in and shake everything around to make you feel a little bit better. And,
And when you start thinking I'm all by myself, I'm all alone, all you have to remember is Jesus is living on the inside of me. If he's living on the inside of you, you don't have to worry about being angry. If he's living on the inside of you, you don't have to worry about being frustrated, because you already know he has a plan for your life. If you believe that Jesus is on the inside, Jesus is on the inside if you believe he was wrongly accused. Jesus is on the inside if you believe he was taken from courtroom to courtroom. Jesus is on the inside if you believe he was whipped all night long. Jesus is on the inside if you believe he took a cross up Golgotha Hill. Jesus is on the inside if you believe that they placed a crown of thorns on his head. Jesus is on the inside if you believe they took nails to his hands. Come on, somebody. Jesus is on the inside if you believe they put a spike into his feet. Jesus is on the inside if you believe they pierced him in his side and blood and water came spilling out of his ribs. Jesus is on the inside of you. Jesus is on the inside of me. Jesus is in the inside of Community Baptist, and he's there because you've accepted him in your heart. So don't get frustrated when you're angry. Don't get frustrated when things don't happen the way you want them to, because joy comes in the morning, and the morning comes as you praise him. The morning comes as you worship him. The morning comes as you honor him. The morning comes when you turn away from sin. The morning comes when you turn away from your wicked ways. The morning comes when you tell those friends that are up to no good, I'm not getting down with that one tonight. I'm going to church on tonight. I'm going to read my Bible so I can understand him. The joy of the Lord comes up when it's raised on the inside, because you've given him the best of your praise and the best of your service and the best of your life, so that you don't have to worry about those things in your life that are not like God. Change starts when you begin to praise. Joy comes when you begin to lift up his name. Joy comes in the morning. If you're in your darkness right now, if you're in a dark place right now, just start to worship. Just start to praise. Just start to honor him. Just start to read his word so that you can understand him better. And I promise you, your morning will turn into dancing. Children, understand. If you worship him, if you trust the teaching that you're, the sound biblical teaching that you're getting from your pastor and the other ministers of this church, if you wholeheartedly believe it and you start to put it into action, you don't have to worry about following the trend no more. You can be a trendsetter of being a Jesus worshiper. You can be a trendsetter of being one of the children in your circle and your crew that shows that they love God. And that's when change takes place. Amen. 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 I get so passionate talking about Jesus and worshiping and praising him, because when I was younger, outside of circles that weren't church, they made it seem like worship wasn't cool. They made it seem like worship was corny. They made it seem like worship wasn't the thing to do. But if I could go back in time and learn how to put praise on my lips and to honor God with my life at an earlier age and not worry about what everybody else was doing, I believe I would be so much further in my faith walk and my understanding with Christ. I don't want any of you children to realize when you're in your mid-20s or in your 30s or in your 40s that you should have gave Jesus all that you have. Learn to give it to him now, because you're not missing anything out there. I promise you. I promise you. I hope these few words find you doing well. And I pray that this word penetrates your heart. Hallelujah. Everyone, please rise to your feet. Stand to your feet. Are here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your living Savior, if you want to get to know what real joy is, not the type of joy that the world talks about, not the type of joy that's in the Webster Dictionary, the type of joy that can only be experienced through a relationship with Jesus Christ, if any of you don't know what that joy truly is, now would be the time to come and give your heart to Jesus.
Give your hand to this pastor, these reverends, these ministers, but give your heart to Jesus. And I guarantee you, they will teach you in the ways of Jesus Christ and how to love like Jesus and how to experience a joy that the world just can't understand. If you just want prayer, just raise your hand and someone will get to you. If you just want prayer, and if you know Jesus, if you know Jesus, but you know you haven't living according to the word, and you want to give your life back to Jesus, now would be the time to say, Jesus, I'm sorry for what I've done, and I want to come back into the fold and be a part of your family one more time. Is there one? Is there one?
Amen.
I need you to
joy comes in the morning. Amen.